I feel like we were just right here talking about this just a little bit ago. And then Luke Fickell had to go and do it again. So here we are. Let's go on Wisconsin. A big commit jumps on board. And we're going to talk about it because we need to talk about it. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, we got a double header here. Welcome to Locked On Badgers, the second one of the day, third one of the day. I don't know. We do this as big news breaks. I deem Bryson Green to be big news. But first, today's show is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. And as mentioned, big news. We got Justin back on. And Justin was just here. We literally did a show 5 hours ago, maybe six.
Yep.
And we talked about the receiver room, right? And ranked it and talked about how strong it is.
And then now the game board just got flipped.
Yep. A new player comes in. Let's talk about that player first. Set the stage. Bryson Green, 6'1", about 205, somewhere in that range. He's a transfer commit number 13, formerly of Oklahoma State. Big schools in the mix for this one. This much like Renfro, this one had a lot of suitors. Auburn was after him. Oklahoma was after him. Ole Miss was after him. There were others as well. He was Oklahoma State's leading touchdown receiver last year at 30-plus receptions, 500-plus yards, 16.4 yards per catch. Mm-hmm. So a proven commodity. And again, this is a proven commodity that real big-time schools are after, and it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin gets him anyway, even with a loaded receiving room, even with C.J. Williams. It didn't matter that Oklahoma was after him. It's incredible to me. Big get.
Yeah, he's a big-bodied wide receiver with good short area quickness. I think he's got some explosiveness. I don't think he's a guy that's going to be getting the deep routes, but from the short to intermediate game, he's definitely a guy that can be a problem. And he's a guy that you're going to have to bring it if you're a corner, if you want to take him down. There's a couple of plays on his film that are really impressive with basically him just discarding guys when he gets the catch. Good, strong hands, attacks the ball. This is a big get. Like, I kind of threw it out there in our chat. We have our group chat for the guys that are on the show. And I said, this is like having two Quintez Cephases. If him and C.J. Williams become what they should be, and I actually think Williams has more upside than long-term than what Cephas was, that's crazy. Like, two guys that are that physical and that strong and gifted are going to be guys that are a major problem for anyone. I mean, we saw Cephas have a good game against Ohio State before he left here. And that's not even talking about the other guys that are going to be now pushed down a rung. Like, can you imagine DK taking on like a third or fourth corner? That's crazy.
I want to jump to there quick. Some comments already coming in. If you've been in both shows, by the way, if you're in the earlier one and this one, Godspeed. Y'all are the best. I want to jump to here. Is this receiver number one? And I want to preface it with, I actually think, like, I don't want to be disrespectful to DK, to Keontae Lewis, to Skylar Bell, because I don't think we've seen the best of them because of the offense they've been in, especially a guy like Skylar Bell, still young. But I do think he's coming in and he is going to be receiver number one. I think this is the alpha of the group next year.
At least to start the season, yes, I think that's definitely the case. It remains to be seen what CJ is. I think he's a guy that's going to, as the season wears on, is going to get better and better because he just doesn't have the experience yet. But yeah, I think here's the deal. You have a jumble of guys that are all pretty close. We're going to have no problem going three wide receiver sets this year. Just none at all, because the wide receiver room is so stacked with guys that can actually go out and do some things that there's no reason to not run that formation, because if you have like a run pass option, like you're golden, like you're going to have guys that you feel confident in and be like, hey, the defense is just not, or is totally gearing for the run. I can hit one of these guys. One of these guys is going to win.
By the way, you know this is getting exciting when we have random Florida State fans jumping into the chat trying to like discount what we're doing. Like, people are taking notice. Like, you know, when we were in the summer with Paul Chris, there was never a Florida State fan jumping in trying to like stir things up. So just keep that in mind. When people start talking, it's when people start getting worried. The other thing that's interesting with this recruiting, and we'll put it up here, by the way, it's B-Man's Vlogs. How's y'all's 24 class going? Oh, yeah, that's right. Top 4 and 24. Go Noles. Sure. I think you're in the wrong chat, bro. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. No offense on that one, by the way. Wisconsin's just getting started with the high school class. We'll catch up.
Our coach has been here for like a minute.
7 weeks. 7 weeks, and we have – how many new players has he brought in? We're 19. Closing in on – yeah, it's incredible.
Counting the high school kids and the transfers, he's brought in 19 kids, if my rough math is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Let's – I want to go to here because this is something we actually didn't really touch about when we talked receivers today. I think this is a fascinating room that we can talk a lot about. I feel like we have a deep room, but we have an incredible mix of players in that room now.
Oh, yeah.
I think we have two slot guys in Pauling and Tretch. I think we got a couple speed height guys in Lewis and Burrow. I think we got a couple big physical dudes now, right, with Marcus Allen, with CJ Williams, with Green. And then I think you got a couple route runners with DK, Skylar Bell. Okay. I really think they have an incredible mix of different mm-hmm. types of weapons, which you need that. You can't have four dudes who only run verticals or four dudes who are only slot.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be teams that they match up better with. Like, there's going to be certain teams that may have big physical corners where that's a game where, like, Tretch or Pauling, you're like, yeah, these guys are – they're going to chew these guys up because they're never going to react quick enough to stay with them. Just the same thing like you have – like, we've talked about it coming into this a little bit. You and I were talking about who do we think will move. If they don't transfer, which we think there's going to likely probably be some transfers.
Before you get to that, because there's a comment about this. Let me get that up here. Mike Griffin says, do you foresee our existing receivers leaving? I think some are going to leave. I really do. And I don't root for that. That's just the nature of the beast. But Justin, I mean, I think some receivers are going to leave. And I think that's a healthy part of a strong roster.
Yep. And I also think that there's a couple of guys that maybe shifted that they like. North Carolina loved the hybrid tight end room, which is effectively a split out big wide receiver. And I think that Brooks and Tommy McIntosh are perfect fit for that if they put on the right weight. That's assuming that Tommy McIntosh could put on the weight and not lose speed, but he was a 4-4 guy before. And if he goes to a 4-6 and he's at 6-5, and can absolutely torch linebackers,
mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with it. Like, that probably is where he's going to play in the NFL. He's not going to be as athletic as he is. If he ends up being a pro pick, it's going to be as a split out wide or a split out tight end. He's not going to be a guy who's going to be a wide receiver in the NFL because corners are bigger, stronger, and can play more in the NFL. And they'll get into a guy that is 205 or 210.
Yeah, I would point out, though, and I agree with you, he could be a guy shifts. Brooks is actually already heavier. Like, Brooks came in like 220.
He's like 220, yeah.
He's a man, so he might shift as well. But those are also younger.
Like,
a lot of the guys we brought in, you know, Pauling's older. Williams is in that class, but obviously Green is older. So they still have time, Vinny Anthony as well, to kind of develop and marinate.
Yeah. And he's a forgotten man. Like, Vinny Anthony has a lot of talent, too.
Got on the field last year. He was my mm-hmm. favorite, actually, of the group we brought in last year. Mm-hmm. I really liked Vinny Anthony. A lot of big plays in high school. So, and he got on the field last year as well. He kind of looks the part. It is just such a deep room, man. I want to just kind of go back and revisit this portion of the show as well, because we also did our impact transfer rate. Like, who from this transfer group is your biggest impact guys in 2023? And obviously, at that time, we didn't have Green. Where does Green specifically slot into that list for you?
I would probably put him at like 3 or 4. It depends on where we throw the kicker on that, but I actually think he's gonna, like, we've talked about him being wide receiver 1. Like, at worst case, I think he's wide receiver 2 on this team. Like, I just think his skill set really lends to seeing a lot of time on the field, and I think that he's a guy that has hands you can trust. And Wisconsin has struggled with that even last year. Like, I like DK and I like Bell, but they had some drops that they shouldn't have had at times. And getting a guy that is reliable and physical and can fight off a corner to get a play on a third and seven or whatever, that's a big deal. Those two guys just aren't as big and physical as what Green is.
Yeah, and to your point earlier, the first point you made, let's say Green is a one, everybody shifts down. It's the same thing with Alexander Smith coming back to the cornerback room. It shifts everybody down. Now DK is not being guarded by the elite corner, and Skylar Bell is being guarded by the third guy, and CJ Williams is being guarded by a nickel. And you can see how this all just snowballs. All right, incredible stuff. We're going to take a quick break. Coming up, we're just going to do your comments. The rest of the show, we got a bunch of great comments already. We're going to get into it. Brad Cunningham says, UW alum living in Oklahoma with a son at OSU. Bryson Green is a stud and a lot of fun to watch.
They are, yeah, and Oklahoma wanted him too, and they are not happy that Wisconsin got him.
I mean, if you're an Oklahoma fan, if you can't lose a receiver to Wisconsin. Like, the world is shifting when that kind of stuff happens, right? They have to be like, What planet is this? But it's a different – the times they are a-changing, folks. Coming next, we got a bunch of your comments. We'll probably talk a little bit more about the transfer portal, the job Luke Fickell's done. We'll kind of just play this one by ear tonight, but really do appreciate it. Take a quick break for our friends of our show, sponsor the show. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this year with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. They are the number one source that we go to on the Locked On Network to find all of our futures betting, live in-game betting. And again, we need to get on some futures betting for Wisconsin, not Bet Online. Winning not just the Big Ten West, but the Big Ten maybe, that Ohio State game, maybe Tanner Mordecai, early Heisman love. Think about that as a potential sleeper. He's potentially going to put up monster numbers in this Longo system. So, yeah, let's get in on some of those futures betting for Wisconsin over at Bet Online. Plus, they have every sport you can think of and sports podcasts. It's all there, plus live casino games. Grab your mobile device, head to the website today, BetOnline, where the game starts. When you're done here, go check out Locked On College Basketball, all the latest college basketball stories. Isaac Shade was on the show. He's incredible. You're going to love their content. Like, only Locked On can do it. Wherever you find your podcast, Odyssey, and on YouTube, Locked On College Basketball. And let's get back to this. Let's get to some comments, Justin. And no Florida State comments, but the rest of them we're going to take. That guy's still in there somewhere. Let's see. Steve Mitchell. Good to get a receiver with a little more experience. Receiver room was crowded in the 1 year experience group. Yeah. It's a great point, Steve. Like, this guy has been in the grind and he can slot up there and give you some real game experience.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. They definitely needed, it helps to get somebody that you know, is reliable. Like, of the three guys we brought in prior to this, none of them had been, you know, I wouldn't say they're not ready for prime time, but they're not guys that have been proven.
Yeah, I agree. Dirking. I'm sorry, man. I probably messed that up. He says, "Hi, Ryan. Great program. Loving fixed back bat signals." And Justin follows it up with Luke Fickell bat signal season is my favorite. Yeah, don't get used to this either. I mean, this is incredible. I sometimes wonder, Justin, if they're setting the bar so high that we're bound for some disappointment down the road here, because this is unusual, and this is not going to repeat itself every transfer portal.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'd be shocked if we have more than, like, 7 or 8 portal guys next year, and that might even be high. Like, we could see 5, maybe 6. They've admitted that. Fickell has said flat out, this is a little bit of an outlier year. We're not expecting to do this. He wants to get his players in. So I get it, like – I'm sure that he, after seeing the bull prep, he kind of looked at it and was like, yeah, we got some holes here. There's some things we need to shore up, and maybe we can do this in quick short order, and we get a bunch of young guys who are ready to play. So I would not anticipate it being remotely this heavy.
No, and he's also – we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. He's also plugging the transfer holes with players that have multiple years of eligibility. Yep. So these spots shouldn't be issues next year. So – Mike Witt, 2 shows in 1 day. Holy cow. I blame Luke Fickell.
That's fair.
I blame Luke Fickell. Kev says, this is easily the most talented receiver room in Badger history. Biggest splash receiver get for Wisconsin prior to this was probably Danny Davis. Justin, talk to me about what's the biggest before this cycle, CJ? Well, actually, let me start there. Who's the bigger splash, CJ or Bryson?
In terms of what it means to the program, it's CJ. Like, Wisconsin does not get a top 75 wide receiver recruit, period. In terms of what it means to them this year, probably Bryson. I think over the course of this season, he may end up having the number one stats. I think CJ is a guy you're going to see gradually build up as the season goes on. But I think he still has a productive season. Like, it would not shock me if, like, number 3 in receptions is CJ. and it might be backlog, you know, heavy on the back end with where his receptions are.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll get to that point, but I agree. We talked about earlier, I think he's going to progress as the season goes. I actually think Bryson's the bigger get kind of on both fronts, but you're splitting hair. Like, these are two incredible gets at the receiver room. And then he mentions, obviously, Kev says the biggest previous was Danny Davis. And that just kind of shows you the bar that Wisconsin has set at receiver.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it from a physical talent standpoint, we probably, if we're really, truly going back, I believe Lee Evans was a four-star back in the day. Toon was a four-star. Of those guys, the physical tools, you'd probably say that was Lee Evans. And then before him, it would be Chris Chambers was a four-star too, who was Craig actually Appleton.
I've mentioned Craig Appleton before for Badger fans.
Who off-field stuff basically is what derailed him.
That dude was a four-star. That was a really good recruiting win. Hugh Scallon says Altoon level badassery in the wide receiver room. Altoon, you talk about a GOAT receiver at Wisconsin. Aaron Jones, huge pickup, keep it rolling. I'm just going to kind of roll down the comments in order, so I'll try to get to as much as we can. Mike Witt, let's pause here for a second. Now let's get some defensive help. This is, I still think there's potential concern on the defensive line and at cornerback across from Alexander Smith. I think those are spots that could use help and reinforcement. Is it greedy to want more Justin here?
Well, we talked about this coming in here, and I said we're beyond greedy now. As a fan base, we bypassed that at probably about 7 or 8 commits. Now it's just gluttony. we just want more. This never-ending barrage. So right now, I think here's the deal. Like what I brought up and my view on this was this. We went from like, what do we need to have a good season to what do we need to put a scare into Ohio State? And I think that that's where we're at now. Now you're like, we need to kind of fill in these last few cracks to really have a roster that starts to be, you know, if you scheme it up and everything comes together, where are the holes that you potentially are worried about if you're facing an Ohio State? And right now I think you'd have to say, I'm most worried about that second corner position. And I'm most worried about, will they be able to just run the ball at will on us? Now, we played pretty well against the run against them this year. At least initially, we were terrible against them for the pass. So we, you know, there's got to be some things that come together there.
Yeah.
Now we didn't have Alexander Smith, just to be clear on that.
It's true. It also would not have made a big difference. To be clear on it. But yeah, I think they have so many talented receivers that is going to be the scary part of that matchup. Even if you brought in another veteran, that's still going to be the scary part of that matchup.
And our culture was broken this year, so I don't take a lot away from that game period. Like, things were just not on the right frame of mind the entire season.
Yeah, I agree. They gave up. Like, there was no fight in it. Mike Witt, Braylon is going to run against so many six-man lines. Braylon's going to have a monster year. He's going to have a monster year. We talked about that. Aaron Jones. Oh, sorry. It looked like you're about to say something. My bad.
No. I just.
Aaron Jones says, the days of Jack Dunn at receiver are gone. I put this up here not to pick on Jack Dunn. More to point out, it's not that long ago when we were running out receiving groups that really had no threatening capacity whatsoever. And it's not just a Jack Dunn thing, by the way.
I mean, beyond that, I would just say this. Getting the sense of Phil Longo, there is not a chance that he would ever have a player, you know, talent's going to dictate with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever he thinks is the person that can make the biggest splash. And I think that's why he wants such a simple offense. If you're physically talented, he wants you to be able to go out there and show it with as little prepping as possible. So in his eyes, it's like, if you're thinking you're not playing to your max ability. So let's limit this to the most simplistic, you know, way we can have this set up and just go out there and let your natural ability take over.
And he's exactly. And he said that, right? He said, we want to put athletes in space and then just let them be athletes. I love it. I love the philosophy. Gavin Weigel says, Fickle visited my school today. Let's go, Gavin.
He visited a lot of schools today.
Yeah, let's
go,
Gavin.
That guy doesn't sleep. He's a freak.
No, he's got that new coach energy. Again, this is honeymoon phase stuff still, but he's crushed the honeymoon.
Yeah, I think that you have certain guys that are kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? He's a grinder, and he's somebody who is just, like, ultra-focused. And I think that he's almost, like, borderline what's the word I'm looking for?
Fanatical.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. Fanatical. He's just like, this, where can I get better? Where can I do better at this? So I don't think that this will really drop off. And I think that he's going to be the driving force based off of whatever his staffs are going forward, because that's going to be his expectation of the people beneath him. I think that's why his recruiting guys are so aggressive.
Super aggressive. By the way, does anyone remember harken back to when he was hired and he said, I'm not here to like change everything. I'm here to enhance Wisconsin. And then he went and just blew up the receiver room and the quarterback room, right? Like, gosh, love him. Of course, he's not going to say, I need to come here and blow these things up. He's like, we're coming in here to enhance this. And he's
that's bad PR. Yeah. I'm just,
he's like dynamite to the quarterback room.
Yeah. He's that consultant that was brought in to figure out where we need to cut the fat. Like, man
alive. Pedro says the only thing that could make this class perfect would be a defensive tackle. That being said, I could not be happier with what Fickell has done in this time. Again, there's a John Garcia interview I did today that's dropping tomorrow. And I asked him, how unique is what Wisconsin's doing right now? Because we're always hyper-focused on just our school. And he said, this is unprecedented. Like, bringing in three transfer quarterbacks in this period of time. The word he used, this is a national recruiting director for Sports Illustrated. Unprecedented. So Badger fans, be justified in being excited, despite this weirdo FSU fan in our chat over here. Oh, I love it. I love him. All right, we're going to take a very quick break and then just get into more comments. I have a really interesting fact to drop on y'all as well about, I know we've talked about where Luke Fickell's focused. Wait till I tell you how focused it's been in certain areas. We're going to get to that next, but first, a very quick break for our friends of the show. All right, let's bring Justin back on. I really do appreciate it. By the way, if anyone wonders, those breaks get added in editing later. If you're watching on YouTube and you don't see anything happen, that's why. I do want to bring up this stat. So we've talked about, I had a solo show earlier in the year about why we can't beat Ohio State. And I said, it's because our quarterbacks aren't good enough, our receivers aren't good enough, and our defensive backs aren't good enough. Those three spots is what I highlighted. And that's not like deep thinking. That's kind of Captain Obvious stuff against Ohio State. Luke Fickell's brought in 19 players. Justin, if you want to take a really quick guess, how many of those 19 are either a quarterback, a receiver, or a defensive back?
Oh, man. 10?
12.
Okay.
So he's brought in 19 players, and I'm not counting the players that were previously committed to Paul Chryst, only the players that committed to him in the high school class or transferred in. Out of 19 players, 12 of them are quarterbacks, receivers, and DBs. And you're telling me he's not going to come here and modernize this sucker? Like, he is addressing the weaknesses, and he's doing it in incredible fashion.
It has been Wisconsin's, struggle areas for forever. And now you have a guy that's coming in that's like, I'm aware of where your shortcomings are, and their strengths are mine.
Evan Gabriel says, any idea what the Marcus Allen Z tweet was? First of all, social media is weird.
Yeah.
He did tweet it right after or right during the Bryson Green stuff. But I won't read into social media because I think that's a really tricky, dangerous, and murky place.
Yeah. So whatever happens there, we'll find out over the coming time. I don't want to speculate because I don't know what it could be in regards to. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to bash a kid if we don't know what he was actually talking about.
And that's exactly where I would go to. You can insinuate things, but it's kind of pointless in social media. I wouldn't even worry about it. And quite frankly, I'll just say this, and this is not directed to Marcus Allen. It's more of a generality. Listen, if a receiver's not on board, there's plenty of other bodies now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of the point of building depth. So again, that's in general, that's not a Marcus Allen pointed thing here. Isaac Zace says the drama around Rashada makes me appreciate what Fickell and Longo have done so much more. So if anyone hasn't followed, Florida had signed an incredible quarterback. Then they lost him. Then they got him back. And it's been this whole drama. And there's been very little drama with.
Well, there was there's talk of a $13 million contract that didn't get followed through on.
There's NIL stuff involved with this one. And there's NIL stuff involved with this one, as you mentioned.
I just want to say this. First of all, who was paying $13 million for a quarterback out of high school? Like, I get a transfer guy who's been a stud, but what are you doing? Like, we've seen 5-stars just completely flame out, and this kid was just a 4-star. It's like, that's not a lock to be a superstar. And Florida's got more holes than just quarterback, so I'm not paying $13 million to it.
The only caveat to that is some people have stupid money. Right. And if they didn't spend $13 million on that, they would buy a painting for $13 million. That's all I'll say. Like, there's
but that has there. More redeemable value.
Maybe. I'm just saying there's people out there with silly money. So I don't know. Lord help the Big Ten if I ever had silly money, because I would buy every recruit I could for Wisconsin. I didn't say that. Bruce Weber says, Ryan, really love your podcast and show. There are others out there, but most tend to be ego heavy and want to show you how smart they are. You build great community. Keep up the good work. See, this is easy for me because I know I'm not that smart. So that's a simple one. And really the community and the guests we have, like people like Justin and Rajiv and Scott, really create authenticity to the show. So Bruce, I appreciate the comment. It's really the community that has helped build this. So I'm very appreciative of that. Let's keep going here. Justin, if you see any comments that you like as well. Wisco Cheese says, would Jim Leonard have recruited any of these guys?
He may have taken a shot or wanted to take a shot. I just don't know if he would have had the infrastructure to attack it in the way that Fickell has. Like, Fickell has, not to bash Leonard, but Leonard could use a year or two in the cog of the Ohio State machine to figure out what high-level recruiting is, because Wisconsin wasn't doing it before. And the expectations and level of energy and time required for it are completely different than what Wisconsin was doing. And we're seeing it firsthand. Like, this is, there's a completely different mindset that it takes to get to this point. And it likely would have taken him several years to get to that point to realize fully what the amount of resources and effort that would have been required to get there. So this year, there might have been one, or I would say out of the group that we have that we brought in, we have 13 guys. It wouldn't shock me to see like four of these guys get offered. Maybe we even get one of them. I don't think we would have been aggressive enough to have brought in remotely what we have done. And we wouldn't have probably had a OC like Longo come on. Like, that's so huge.
For I was what just going to say that, right? That's the cachet. Like, some of this is just Longo cachet. And everything we saw, all the smoke we saw was Sean Lewis was going to be tied to Jim Leonard, mm-hmm. right? And Sean Lewis, I think, would have really excited us because we wouldn't have known this Luke Fickell, Phil Longo thing was on the table. And it, but Phil, Sean Lewis doesn't have the Phil Longo cachet. He's not pulling in this. Yeah. It just is what it is.
Yeah. Longo has done it at a power five level and put guys in the NFL, and he's put receivers in the NFL, a ton of them. So you have a guy who is effectively on the short list of like QB whispers in college football right now in Longo. It's proven. This is why you see 3-4 stars come jump on board. Like, these are guys. Mordecai is a guy who wants to improve his draft stock. You have Evers and Locke, who are two guys that are like, Locke flat out said, and this is a Jesse Temple was talking about this, that he's a guy that was not going to risk, you know, the opportunity to go with Longo. And that's a big deal. Like, when you have guys that realize what they have in your coach, the quarterback is the driving force of every program. Like, if you can prove that you can consistently bring in 4-star quarterbacks, you're going to get quality skill talent, because it means you're running an offense that quarterbacks want to play in. And that means receivers want to play in.
Yeah, I agree. And people want to play with winning programs, and the winning programs have quarterbacks. Corey G talks about Tommy McIntosh. Where would he fit? We talked about the first segment, potentially moving to a tight end is what we talked about there. Let's keep going here. We got a bunch of comments going on. Let's see. I'm sorry. I missed some of the ones I was trying to get.
There was a comment actually about the running back room that I thought was actually.
I'll take it. Yeah. Why don't you talk about it? I'll try.
Yeah. It said that it was 2024 is a sneaky year that we need to get depth. And I actually think we need to get two running backs in that room. We have the in-state kid, Smith, who I think they have to lock him down. He's the exact fit for the offense. They really need to make him a point of coming after him. And I think that's the case. I think Fickell's aware of it. I think Longo's aware of it. So I think those guys are the guys that are the primary targets that you're going to see in this class. They're really going to go after them. But yeah, we need to get more depth in that room. They need to get some young bodies that are ready. And I think, as much as I like Nate White, I'm not sure that he ever fully turns into a every down back. Like, he's a kid that might only top out at 200, 205. Like, he's 180 pounds now. Some guys fill out. Some guys, he looks a little more lanky on his film. So he might not be a guy that gets beyond, you know, that 205 mark and is more of a slashing type back that mm-hmm. you want to use as a gadget guy, which is fine. But that means you need to find somebody that can be, you know, a little more stockier, solidly built guy that can get out there and give you 20 carries.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I don't know. Running back's weird to me because I think Jackson Aker could play a role there potentially as well. And we don't really know, right? Because we haven't really seen it, but it's possible.
I don't disagree. I just don't know how many of these guys fit the mold of what exactly they're looking for. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as I think Braylon Allen could really eat in this offense, I also think that there are some shortcomings there where he lacks some of the explosiveness that they truly like to have. Like, if you're going to be going against a six-man box, you want to be able to have somebody that can slash through, make that one cut and go and jet. And the difference between Braylon Allen and one of those guys is the fact that that guy can take it 50 yards. Braylon may get you 20, 25.
Yeah, but Braylon's going to do it in a different way.
He will. It's going to wear on a defense more.
Yeah, I think there's a difference there. Like, Braylon's not going to be that one-cut slasher, but he's almost going to force a DC to keep a bigger linebacker in there, which is going to open other things
up. It's going to change things up a little bit the way teams feel like they have to play, because it's not like you're going to put like a Viper out there and have somebody that's going to be like a oversized safety, because you know that guy's not going to hit Braylon.
Braylon's going to punish him. Yeah. All right, let's keep taking some of these comments here. I love this one. Isaac Zay says, my Nebraska fan keeps bringing up Frost as a parallel to Fickell. Not entirely sure how to respond to it. Here's how I would respond.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good response. They're not remotely the same. For one, Ryan and I were discussing this before, and I talked to him earlier today about it. I actually thought that Frost might blow up. I actually did not think that he was going to be a guy that was a lock to succeed. And a lot of it had to do with the fact he had one good year under his belt. And it was in a school that had the most resources for that particular conference. You're in Florida, a super talent-rich state that has a ton of advantages over most of the teams in your conference. Now, who knows how mismanaged that roster was prior to him getting there. He still accomplished what he accomplished. But you go from having the most resources to going to a school that's, what is Nebraska? Fifth at best?
Somewhere in that range. Nebraska has a lot of resources with money, facilities.
They do, but it's not like in the primary recruiting area and things like that compared to, like, say, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State.
I think you're even maybe going down that rabbit hole too much, because Luke Fickell went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, you could almost just end the discussion there.
And he's also got 5 or 6 years here where he's been consistently like a 9 or 10 win coach or more under his belt. And that is not the consistent track record of success. And plus, you know, we're not going to dig into it, but there was some off-field things that Frost struggled with that did not help him. And I also just think a lot of it comes down to the way you carry yourself as a person and who you are. And Frost was not exactly the most likable guy. And I think that plays a role in how your team, like your level of success, like you're going to have struggle if you're not somebody that recruits look at and be like, I want to play for that guy.
Yeah, I just don't, Isaac, I don't think it's, I think it's a lazy comparison.
It is.
And I wouldn't even entertain it. Like, Fickell's so there's a reason why when Luke Fickell was out there, Notre Dame was interested. Yeah. Like, he could have picked his spot, not Scott Frost. Yeah. All right, Randall Beckholz.
Can I make one more comment on that before you jump? I want to say this. You can see, based off of how the first 7 weeks have gone for Luke Fickell, how organized he is, how disciplined he is, and how, like, little wasted motion there is with him. He's a guy that is very precise, very locked in, and very focused on what he's doing. And that is clear to me where you're seeing the difference between him and the majority of the coaches coming from a smaller program. He's a guy that is not going to waste time failing at something if he thinks that it's not, there's no chance for success with it.
Yeah, I think he's crushed it so far. Randall Beckholz says, can you rank our quarterback room at this time? This is an interesting one. Let's do this quickly. Obviously, Tanner Mordecai's one.
Yeah.
Who would you – this? So really quickly, because Randall brought this up. I was going to bring this up in our previous show, and thank you, Randall, for tuning into the show, for bringing this up. I actually think Locke – this is really interesting to me now. Locke is a safer player to me than Evers. He's a higher floor guy, and I think he's probably going to be more ready this year. He could fight for the two spot. I really think so. And then that gives him a springboard into next year where maybe he gets a little bit of a leg up on Evers. I think it's an interesting thought.
I think it really – neither one of them is a guy who I – listen, I think with our schedule, either one of them from a physical standpoint can do a lot of things. Obviously, if one of them is playing, it's going to get a lot more wild in terms of what the expectations are each game. you're right. He does have a higher floor. He has a lower ceiling. So we look at it like it's, if we were going to say who's probably number two this year, it's probably Locke. If we're saying a year from now, I'd probably go Evers, because I think that there's some things that he provides that you can't, it's not in the playbook.
Yeah, it's, listen, it's going to be a fascinating battle. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. Locke can really sling it. I mean, he can really, really sling it.
He's, he's the one that's had, he put up this, and if we really dive down the rabbit hole, I told you, Metoyer is my guy.
Well, and I love Cole LeCrew as well. Like, it's just going to be a battle, and that's, that's 100% what it's going to be. It's going to be a major battle coming up in 24. Let's see. Kev G says Braylon Allen and Malusi both have injuries, issues with past injuries. We've talked about this a lot. That's a great point. Can't rely on Julius Davis and a true freshman, Nate White. Need to pick up a running back transfer for sure.
It's going to be Aker. He's going to be in the running back room now.
Well, in Iacomelli, right? Yeah, so it's those
don't
two.
Don't sleep on Cade. Cade I brought this up to Ryan a few times now. I compare him to Shannon Brooks, who played for Minnesota. Watch the film and watch the high school film of Cade. They run very, very similarly. A little bit more upright.
Minnesota comparison. You got to find a different player.
I can respect the level of back he was and still hate his team. He's a guy who runs a little more upright, slasher, quick, has some good top-end speed, but not a power back. And I think that's what you're going to see with Cade. Cade's not going to be a guy that's going to be pushing the pile. But he's a guy who's going to like slash through holes and make some plays.
He's an elite athlete. That's what people need to go back. Just he has a YouTube workout footage that you can find from his high school days at Penn Teller. I think he's from Penn Teller in Pennsylvania. I could be wrong. That's just flashing my brain. But he does incredible box jumps. He does. He is a monster athlete. So
aren't Penn and Teller a comedy duo?
They are, but I think it's also a high school. I think it's high school. I could be wrong. I'm not sold on Aker. I feel like
he's more of a fill-in. I think he can be a short yardage guy. If he's out there, you're basically running the second coming of the Hebrew hammer.
And listen, Tim brings this up too. Aker probably ends up as a tight end or an H-back type. You know, I don't see Aker as stepping in that running back rotation unless like the wheels fall off and everybody's hurt. So, yeah. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up there. Have a ton of comments I didn't get to. Definitely got to bring up Wes's comment, because anytime you mention PJ Fleckenstein, that's going to come on the show. He's going to get beat down so bad. I live to hate that guy. Yes, let's go, Wes.
He's caught Fickell's attention, and I can guarantee you that he has no problem with making a point in that game.
And Tim brings up there are plenty of power backs in the spread. They have still one or two unblocked defenders. Yeah, I think Allen's going to eat. And then Tyler Reynolds, I think responding to your comment, Braylon Allen holds the record for the longest run in school history. Justin, talking about a guy who isn't going to take it to the house. He did house one today. He went 97, right? Was it?
Something like that.
Not the highest.
If he does it against Penn State or OSU, then we could talk about it.
No, but, listen, 97 is 97. That's impressive. Kevin J says, I think Isaac Grendo would have fit the mold. I loved me some Isaac Grendo. I will die on this hill that previous coaching staff butchered the management of that running back room, and Grendo should have got 10 or 15 carries or touches a game. Obviously committed to Louisville, so he's out of the picture. I hope he crushes it there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good luck to
Bummer.
Him.
Justin, any last thoughts here? I didn't get to every comment, but we got to a lot of them. I appreciate everybody tune in as always. Justin, this has been a hell of a run here.
Yeah. Well, keep an eye out. It might not be over.
I'm not doing another show today. It's
not today. It's not today. But you guys may want to keep an eye out for tomorrow. Just saying.
It's 11:40 Eastern here. This has been a Freeform Friday part due. I appreciate everybody tuning in. We got a bunch of people watching, a bunch of people in the comments. Y'all are awesome. Go join the Discord if you haven't yet. We talk Badgers in there. I put the link to the Discord at the top of this chat, so you just have to scroll through some crazy FSU stuff and everyone else talking about it. But go join the Discord. Tomorrow's my birthday, so I don't know if we'll do a show tomorrow, even if we get good news.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. On Wisconsin, and let's keep it going.